AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles, hosted by MC8 and Big Steel. Every Thursday,
I already know.
A podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangsta rap.
Let's go.
Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big Bang.
It is what it is, man.
BJ Scream.
You don't be on nothing I be on.
Baby Jade.
Okay, so let me ask y'all this then.
Bring you big facts.
Bad ethnic right now.
Visit the new website today, bigfactspod.com.
It's DJ Scream, Big Bang, Baby Jade, Big Facts Crew, Clark Atlanta University, HBCU in the green. We got a special guest with us right now, one of the biggest financial literacy podcasts. You heard of the Social Proof podcast with David Shands. What's up, my bro?
Y'all not clapping? We're not clapping. Let's get some energy here. What's happening, man?
Man, we just wanted to bring you in. You know what I'm saying? This is all about teaching, you know, our youth and just everybody in general, our culture about financial literacy, financial progression and everything. So I guess give everybody a little bit of your background and your story of how you got into that space.
Oh, absolutely. So just real quick, as a kid, I was always like trying to make some money in some way. Like, and I don't know if kids are like born with it, with that ambition. Like, I'm raking my leaves on my lawn.
Most and are.
I don't know what makes me look across the street at my lawn like, dang, I'm raking my leaves, but she got leaves on her lawn. I wonder if she'll pay me. I don't
so
know what
hers.
Like.
Yeah.
I don't know what sparks that
Hustle.
Thought.
You
know
Hustle. What
I
mean?
Yeah, just born with that, and just I tried everything to make some money. And then, long story short, I worked at the Cheesecake Factory for 6 years. The last 2.5 years, I started a T-shirt brand called Sleep Is for Suckers, geared towards entrepreneurship. And that kind of
boomed off for you when you opened the kiosk in Cumberland, right?
Well, I mean, I was jumping. Like, while I was working at the job, I was building a brand.
Okay.
So, like, I'm doubling up. But I really leaned into these T-shirt sales.
Okay.
Like, even while I'm at work, I'm like, all right, bet, come up, pull up. I'll come outside, get your shirt. I'm dropping off a drink, refill that joint, walk outside, serve my customer, come back. And that was my hustle until I actually left.
Okay.
And then I opened the kiosk, and, you know, it was up from there.
So what was that day? And we like to talk about that. So on Big Fast, we tell everybody, man, get a job. If you got to get a job,
yeah,
you know what
sure.
I'm saying, sustain and everything. But what was that day when it was like middle finger to the job?
It was never that moment. Like, actually, the exit from my job was when I started being grateful for the job and realizing why I'm there. So every day I get a chance, I go to the table and I'll say, hey, welcome to the Cheesecake Factory. I'm David. Fish of the day is salmon and mahi-mahi. Comes with broccoli and mashed potatoes. Every day I get a chance to work on my presentation skills. So I would slur my words and say fish of the day instead of fish of the day. But I'm like, dang, I get a chance to practice every day pronunciation because I know I'm going to be around the world speaking. I knew I was going to have a microphone somewhere. And I have to stop slurring my words. Mm. So I got excited. I got a chance to work on that every day, work on my sales skills. You cannot come to the Cheesecake Factory, sit at my table, and not get a cheesecake at the end, no matter what you say to me. No, I'm on a diet. No, I'm not eating it. But I got a chance to... I don't care if they had a great experience, they gave me a good tip, but if I couldn't sell them more than what they
originally came for,
then I'm like, dang, what did I do wrong? So I never was like, yo, I hate this job. When I stopped saying I hate this job and understand why I'm there, that's when everything started to move.
So basically you selling that cheesecake was like you raking the lady neighbor's leaves.
100%.
Okay. 100%. Okay, cool.
Just getting better, like getting better at something. I don't care if you're an Uber driver, get better at it. Like, I don't care if you just get better at something. If you're late to class, every single class, that should be a problem and it should frustrate you why you can't get up and be somewhere on time.
Right.
Be anywhere on time. So my job gave me a chance to work on me, and that was the most amazing experience. Mm.
What do you think is some of the first steps to become, like, to get in a better financial space? Whether that be credit, some of my partners still ain't got no bank accounts. They won't get no bank account. Like, what you think some of those steps is to get yourself in a better financial space?
First step, get around rich people.
Yeah.
Get around people that make some money.
Yeah.
Because you don't think anything's wrong until you get around somebody who can point that out.
Mm.
Like, I don't think anything's wrong with having $20,000 in credit card debt. And so I get around somebody and they say, yo, you need to get out of debt. I'm like, why would I get out of debt? I don't got to pay it right now. Mm. I can get the couch right now and just live it. I didn't know nothing's wrong with it.
Mm.
But you get around some people and it kind of opens up your mind to like what's broken in your own life.
Yeah.
The second thing I would say is find out where you are financially. I made a post the other day. A homeless man with $3 in his pocket has a higher net worth than probably 80% of people here right now.
What do you mean?
Because somebody might be in debt for $40,000. You're making money, but you don't have $40,000 in the bank, meaning you are negative. Like, your net worth is negative.
Oh, liquid assets.
Yeah. Like, at least the homeless person doesn't owe anybody. At least the homeless person doesn't have to pay $40,000 to get out of the hole. So some of our goals right now should be to at least get to the net worth of a homeless person where I don't owe anything. Maybe I ain't got a whole lot. Now, I'm not saying I would trade my lifestyle.
But at least I broke even.
Yeah, right. But... Yeah. Like, let's start. I didn't understand what net... People say your network is your net worth, but people have no idea what net worth is or how to even describe it, how to define it for themselves. So just getting smarter and find out where we are financially is huge.
So basically, like, on the social proof, you take other people's businesses and, you know, like, their ideas. You find out where the holes are, and then you explain to them how to properly plug those holes.
Well, I got two parts.
Okay.
One, I interview really, really successful people and get like a free coaching session. So if you made millions, right, I'm asking you questions on how you did it.
Mm-hmm.
And but on Saturdays, I just implemented Q&A where there's people who are making less than $250,000 or $100,000.
Right.
They just started their business and they have questions. So I'm actually educating them because I had to get both sides. People are like, yo, I want to be on the podcast, but you didn't accomplish much. Yeah. But I have an affinity for the people who need some exposure. So I just did an episode with a guy, a 19-year-old. T-shirt brand called Dope. It's D-O-P-E, dominating on purpose every day. He's 19 years old. I was able to like do a Q&A with him on how to build his brand, but through the Q&A and the exposure, mad people started buying shirts from him to support and saying, yo, we love what you're doing and moving forward. So yes, yeah, it's kind of two-part.
Okay.
What's the biggest success story that you feel like came from your podcast? Like, you know how people... text you and be like, bro, thank you for this. Like, which one of those moments was the biggest to you?
One is the speaker, the actual guests that are on the podcast, because like when we're interviewing, their following goes crazy. Or whatever they're selling, a lot of people buy it. So that's one success story. But it's really every day somebody's coming up to me, DM me. Every single time I go to the airport, it's somebody that says, hey, man, yo, I got 6 cars because of your episode with Maddie J or Pushman Mitch, and they're showing me the cars. Or, yo, I got a bunch of Airbnbs because of the episode with Zoe. And it's like these stories of people who they just didn't have, their mind wasn't open to an idea. They didn't know this thing existed, and then they run it. I was at the airport the other day. This guy said, yo, I never traded stock before in my life. I watched the episode with options traders, and he said, yo, I made $50,000. I said, you didn't have any background in stock trading or anything? He said, no. But I watched it, so I feel really good that I built a career by highlighting people that deserve to be highlighted.
So what made you start the morning meetup?
I wanted to get up earlier. Keep it real with you. We had I had a coaching program at the time, and I'm like, yo, I was getting up at like 10, 11 o'clock every single day because I'm an entrepreneur. I can do what I want, stay up all night, and just wake up. That's part of freedom. You get to wake up when you want to wake up. But I realized that I wanted to maximize the day, and there were certain things that I wanted to preach. I wanted to preach like, don't be lazy, get up early, but I couldn't because I wasn't doing it myself. And I told my people, like, yo, let's get on the call a little earlier, man. Let's do 9 o'clock. And I mean, we had like probably 10 people that jumped on at 9 o'clock, and we were on there. We had a good day. And after the call, I'm like, yo, I'm ready for the world. Let's go. I was inspired by being able to teach people.
Yeah.
And then it just kept growing. Now we got over 1,000 people on the morning meetup. We get on at 7:45 now. It's a book club. Yeah, it's a book club. We read like 15 books together last year, cover to cover. Because we just read one chapter at a time. So it's needed. I started because I needed that inspiration, and community has saved my life.
Yeah.
But I know some people that are entrepreneurs, you'll watch an interview or watch certain interviews where they're telling you how to. But if you're at home by yourself, learning how to may not help you. You need a group of people that's all looking to get to the next level to push.
Right.
So you guys
can kind of bounce off each other's energy.
For sure. Huge in community.
You know, when I be watching your stuff, like, some financial literacy people is like anti, man. Don't buy no nice car. Don't buy no jewelry. Don't buy nothing, right? But you kind of on the other side. You'll buy a chain. You'll say, I just bought this and I just bought that. Yeah. What's kind of like your take on that? Because I ain't saying the community is divided, but some of them are just like, don't buy anything. Don't ever buy anything because it's not an asset. And so that's what they teach, but you kind of teach the contrary.
I mean, if you are... I think you should, I don't tell people what to buy if they, you know, I think we live one time. Mm. It'd be a shame to like be a hermit where you're just saving all your money and you get hit by a bus. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I want you to like live a good life, but there's a balance. So actually my first watch, it wasn't this one, my first watch, I said, I want this Rolex. And it was like, I think I spent maybe it was like $16,000. And I was like, dang, I can't bring myself to just spend $16,000. Now I had the money. That's the key. I've been working hard and I had the money, but it's something I really wanted. So I said, yo, I'm going to do an event to make the money to buy the watch. So I put on this content creation workshop, and I think it was like $1,000, and about 30 people came. So I specifically did that so I can have the watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can have something that I wanted.
I ain't gonna spend my money. I'm gonna spend y'all.
Yeah,
money.
Like it wasn't planned money, but I think you can like you create a lifestyle based around what you have. You know what I mean? If you say, yo, I'm gonna save 10% of every single dollar that I have, and this 10% is my travel budget. Mm. However big that travel budget, go take a trip. So yeah,
I don't tell people wherever you can afford to go. Money. Yeah,
100%.
So you feel like you living in your purpose by doing this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or is it your last purpose? Are you still searching for your purpose?
I think my purpose is to, at the end of the day, to go to heaven after all this is over. So I don't think God cares whether I'm a financial education coach or a high school basketball coach. Me personally, I don't think he cares, right? But I think my purpose is to inspire people to be better. So at the end of all of this, we all go to a desirable place. Mm. When we start talking about purpose. Passion is different. I'm in my passion. I love talking to people. I love educating people. Love helping people, and teaching entrepreneurship. So,
how much of a blessing has the word or the culture podcast been to you? I think we can all talk about this, but how much has it particularly been for you?
See this chain, man?
There you go.
You see the watch?
There you go.
No, I think it's cool because people are finally into voices. Like they would listen to a voice. If I ask you, what are you listening to? If I ask you that question 15 years ago, you're automatically going to tell me music. Mm-hmm. You'll just go to an artist. Oh, I'm listening to Jay-Z right now. I'm listening to DMX right now. Mm-hmm. But you can't just ask somebody that question right now and just get a music. They'll be like, well, I'm listening to podcasts. I'm listening to, right? So now it's like a norm that like people are interested in listening to voices and being educated. Mm-hmm. Yo, we used to have, I just made a post today. I had a life-size poster of Allen Iverson on my wall or like, Biggie, because of what they did, how they made me feel, or how they entertained me, mm-hmm. right? But now we have these voices of people that we listen to that we're inspired by. Like, people probably need to have y'all, a poster of y'all on there, say, I want to be that. I want to get paid off of my voice. I want to get paid off, like, being able to have conversations with people. That's cool. And believe it or not, we make a lot more money than entertainers. And keeping it real with you. So, I mean, I think it's really, really cool that that people are interested in education. Mm-hmm. Our people want to be, they want to aspire to be what we're doing, not just shoot a ball or grab a microphone. So,
Who's some of your favorite podcasts?
Big Facts.
There you go.
Okay. Number one. That's a smart answer.
That's all I got.
That's all you got.
That's all I got. Big Facts.
That's it. That's all you need.
Yeah, that's all you need.
You need that.
I do like this I like Earn Your Leisure, of course, but Marketing School, it's like a 5-10 minute podcast where they're giving you some game on marketing. 5 or 10 minutes. It's not
called Marketing School?
Marketing School, yeah. Okay. And I actually adopted that, and I said, yo, I'm doing 5-Minute Fridays where I'm teaching something for five minutes. Mm-hmm. I literally looked at some of the analytics, like some of those episodes, 33,000, 20,000 downloads, and I put out a lot of content, and I just stole that concept and started teaching it in a way that my people can relate, mm-hmm. and it's working out like a charm. Mm-hmm. So,
what you got coming up?
Social Proof Alumni, October 27th. Last year, we did the first Social Proof Alumni, where everybody that's ever been on the podcast gets invited. Mm. I get a venue, unlimited drinks, unlimited food. Some of the most amazing entrepreneurs in the world are connecting with each other at this one event. It was an all-white party. And it's just, I had no agenda. I'm just saying, yo, I want to give back. Like, I made a lot of money from being able to not even just like from YouTube and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. but being able to sit down and have a conversation with you, get some game, mm-hmm. and apply it to my life. It's just been huge. So that's my get back this year. We're doing an all brown party, and it'll be about 300-400 people there, mm-hmm. all high level entrepreneurs that have been on the podcast.
What's so. All brown? What's the motivation behind it?
We black, but we brown. All brown.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So non brown people, Kate?
Brown. Yeah, I mean, we have some white people on the show, but this is. All brown. You know what I mean?
All
it's
brown.
Gonna be beautiful to just see the browns and tans and melanin, and I just got a vision. It's gonna be dope. Yeah. They said they need answers. About
what? Will I get big fat? Big fat, big fat. AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles. Podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangster rap. Hosted by MC8 and Big Steels every Thursday. Each episode provides an in-depth exploration into the formative artists, monumental albums, and socio-political factors that have shaped gangster rap from its emergence in the 80s to its enduring impact today. Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form. We dive into the socio-cultural aspects that gangsta rap boldly addressed, from police brutality to systemic racism, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the profound cultural significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's go.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
They'll explore and listen to the sounds of amazing places like farms, racetracks, the moon, and even
construction sites.
That's right, Blippi.
Follow your ears. What do you hear?
And they'll meet new friends along the way. Alongside Blippi and Mika, your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's the biggest gem you'll give to, like, since we are on the college campus, like, what's the biggest gem you'll give to somebody, you know what I mean, that's trying to make it, maybe in their college dorm, or maybe somebody that's incarcerated, maybe somebody that's in the streets living a different life? What's the biggest gem you would tell or want to give to them?
I guess different advice on all three, but if I had to, like, give one, lean into something and master it. Lean into something. I mean, a lot of people just go after money and they, like, do a bunch of stuff. Well, I'm going to do hair. I'm going to sell T-shirts. I leaned into podcasting. And sometimes when you lean into something, you got to give up something that's paying you. So I had to drop some stuff that was paying me to go into something that wasn't paying me at the moment, but I believed in it. So I leaned into it and I learned how it operates. I learned how to make money and learned how to be better at it. But lean into something. We're just so widespread, man. But whatever you, like, spend most of your time in, it will grow, period, point blank.
Yeah.
Big fat.
So lean into something, man. That's the biggest thing, man. Stop chasing all this different. Just lean in. My dad gave me some of the best advice. He said, whatever you do, just be the best at it. Lean into it, be the best at it. He said, I don't want you to do this, but if you decide to sell drugs, don't be no average drug dealer, bro. Be a kingpin.
Kingpin.
Like, be good at it. Lean in. Like, figure out how to not get caught. Figure out how to make more. Figure out how to bring more people
Monopolize
on.
Monopolize the market.
Exactly. Like, it's like, yo, if you're going to do it, if you're going to make that decision, go all the way with the decision.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was huge for me.
Absolutely. We appreciate you pulling up, man. You know what I'm saying? We definitely got to pull up on your spot and your game, too. You know what I mean? I'll let everybody know where they can follow you, social media, and check out the podcast, of course, Social Proof.
Listen, pull out your phones right now and subscribe to the podcast, okay? Just, you listen to podcasts? Social Proof Podcast on the podcast app. Apple or Spotify, just download the podcast. That one. Download the podcast at Social Proof Podcast. Shoot me a text. I inspire people on a regular basis, 404-737-4935. And Instagram at sleep is four suckers with the number four.
There it is. Salute to David Shands pulling up. Big Facts. HBCU on the green. What's up? Salute.
For the streets.
Exactly.
It's Big Facts.
No cap.
Bitch.
Still live from Clark Atlanta University, HBCU on the green, DJ Screen, Big Bang Baby Jade. Another special guest just pulled up on us. We consider him family at this point. Aristotle is here on
Big Facts.
HBCU on the green. What's up, man?
I'm doing great.
What's been the move since the last time you spoke to us? I guess give us some quick updates since the last time you spoke with us.
A lot, man. I released like a live trading thing where I allow people to see me trade. Mm-hmm. So I just enjoy that live trading, showing people my screen, showing them mm-hmm. how I make profits in the market. I'm doing a live trading tour. I started a podcast just trying to like just talk, you know what I'm saying? Like I get like real relaxed and then I just start talking, you know what I mean? And then, you know, so I just have a knack for that. So, you know, I've been doing that. I also bought another property, my second house.
Congrats on that.
I bought it. It's well over a million, so you know, that's just low key. And then that's pretty much it. Just you know, changing the area and then moving to, you know, a bigger house and stuff like that.
Do you think most black people, I'm gonna say, do you think they are and why, but do you think most black people are just scared of the stock market? And if they are, then why do you think that is? Like, why do you think black folks are just scared of stock? But they ain't scared to go to the casino like we was just saying.
Yeah, like, I feel like, okay, at the end of the day, you gotta account for losses in life. You know what I'm saying? No matter what. Like, you gotta lose to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like, why would I play poker or go to the casino and I got like, what, a 5-10% chance of winning the game when I can do the stock market where there's things called high probability setups where I got an 80 to 90% chance of winning. So that's how I look at it. I got a 10% chance, a 0% chance playing a lottery, dang near 0.1%. You get what I'm saying? You got like your odds are stacked against you. So, You know the term beat the odds. The odds are in your favor with trading because there are what is called high probability setups. And they're like infinity stones. You know, like, what is it? Thanos?
Thanos.
You know how you had those, right? So high probability setups are like those. Once you get like about a good six of them, it's like you real powerful. You know what I'm saying? If you got like six ways to make money within a day, I got about 12 of them. But like you got six ways to do it, you know what I'm saying? You win the game. So that's how I look at it.
I think it's all on what you programmed to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, you damn near learn how to shoot dice and shit 5-6 years old as a kid. If that's somebody was teaching the stock market, it would be more common. Like now, like you got guys like y'all, you know what I'm saying, teaching people, so it's more common for the youth. But like, when you get of age, it's like, you know what you know. You know what I'm saying? And in our community, niggas really scared to learn some new shit that sound risky.
The older they get.
You get what I'm saying? Like, it sound risky. Like, okay, it worked for you, but I don't know nothing about that. So I'm going to stay away from that.
It's like comfort zone.
That's just
zone.
How niggas be.
Comfort zone.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
But you showing the proof, like, nah, it can actually work. But niggas feel like, well, it can work for you. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Because I went and tried it and lost $50,000 off the bat. That's just how niggas think. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because once niggas lose that one time, like,
I mean,
that kills the dream.
Don't get me wrong. Trading goes against, like, a lot of human nature. Like, we're naturally greedy. You get what I'm saying? So we naturally want to get rich quick.
Mm-hmm.
So if you develop a mindset of, okay, it's easy. I ain't going to lie to you. I can tell all of you. It's easy to make a 400 in a day. You capable of doing it. But the problem is you don't want 400. You want 20,000 your first day. You get what I'm saying?
For sure.
Right? Yeah. So you keep losing and losing, chasing this big game when you could have just made 400. Because think about it.
Well, it's a little bit, it made it add up.
It's 250 trading days. So if you made 400 a day, that's 100K.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody could technically get six figures off this thing if they stay disciplined and just say, I just want 400 out the market every day. But a lot of people don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
They want to, and I tell people, get your money, walk away. But then it do be hard because they'll see somebody like me. Okay, you making $10,000 a day. You making $4,000 a day. I don't want to do that. Why do I got to keep making $400? Why do I got to keep making $500, $1,000? I said, gradually get used to making something. But it got to be systemized. Like, for instance, I tell people, okay, if you want to trade, right, let's just say you got $2,500, right? And if I had a finger, right, you got $2,500 and you're going to use 20% of your account at a time. So that's 500 per trade, right? So you got five times, right, to use $500. So let's just say with this $500, I use 500 to go into a trade, but then I take profits at 20%. that's $100. You get what I'm saying? I do it again. So what I'm doing is I'm using more size, but taking out less. You get what I'm saying? But then it looks big. So I'm using 500 to make 100. You get what I'm saying? But see, the thing is, some people want to flip the 2500. And I'm like, leverage it. You take bits of it at a time so you don't want to go all in. So that's why I say use 20% of your account. So you got 80% left to try again. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it's really about. It's about risk management. And I learned that with anything. It could be business. It could be this. It could be this podcast. Y'all got to have some type of budget and risk management to it. You can't just say, okay, we about to blow 500 racks on Jay-Z interview. You get what I'm saying? Well, you could have put that 500.
Won't pay for interview.
Right. But you get what I'm saying, though, right? When you could have just You know what I'm saying? Like, use that money wisely. Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
For sure. Makes sense. But that makes sense to you, though. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It don't make sense when you it's a foreign language.
Yeah.
To niggas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's why it's for the niggas who actually do it, they get really paid off of it. Because it's wide open. We not stepping into it. That's why that's smart for you to start a podcast. I be looking at your shit. I'm learning slowly, and I'm starting to see, like, okay, I probably could. It's the same thing as going to the casino with less risk, like you said.
Exactly.
As long as you can be
disciplined.
Discipline is the main thing. Yeah.
So
it's like, I want to jump out there and make, like you said, I want to make me a 20 or 30 this first
day. Yeah, you feel me? When it took somebody who doing that 5 years to be able to do that. You get what I'm saying? Like, it took me 5 years to learn how to make a 10,000 a day. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and I consider myself a smart person. I consider myself to be somebody who reads every day. Mm-hmm. So what I tell people is, this isn't something you can luck your way into. It's something, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you really got to sit down and pay attention.
That's like if I was trying to become, or anybody was trying to become a net big facts, they can't luck themselves into just blowing up. Y'all know it's going to take consistency. What episode y'all on?
134.
134 episodes. So that means y'all doing one, every other week?
Every week.
So it's 52 weeks in a year. So y'all been doing this for about
two and a half years, right?
Yeah. So people got to realize, okay, you can't just jump and just become big fast right away. It's going to take 100 and some episodes. You got a lot of catching up to do.
Facts.
Yeah. So you don't got it. So I say that to say, don't compare your chapter one to somebody's chapter 10.
Facts. Exactly. Facts right now.
You know what I'm saying? Like, realize you on chapter one, but a lot of people not willing to go through the grind, the long grind. Everybody want to be on, they want to get go to chapter one and be on chapter five tomorrow. Mm-hmm. If they not on chapter five, quit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's, and I realize that with anything. Like, I ain't gonna lie, I aspire to be a good real estate person one day. But I understand that, you know what I'm saying? For one, it's gonna take a mentor. For two, it's gonna take, I'm on chapter one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make some mistakes. I'm understanding.
You're going to lose in some rehab.
I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
I'm going to lose. I understand. I'm accounting for all that. When you learn that first, that you about to lose, when you already know you about to lose, that's when you going to win. You feel me? You just got to, I tell people honestly, you got to have that cash flow.
You got to have money to make money, for sure.
So,
yeah. Money.
A lot of people's problem is, okay, they don't have a machine powering their dreams.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Like, a record label is a machine powering somebody's dream.
For sure.
Or, I got this job, but I'm using my second stream of income to power stocks, real estate, something. You get what I'm saying? But it takes two streams of income. You feel me? Your second income got to be the one to power something.
Power the third.
You get what I'm saying? That's really how it is.
Yeah.
But the thing is, most people don't realize you really do need two streams of income. It's unless you make such a big stream of income off your one and you living off half of it. Like, let's just say you got a good six-figure paying job. $8,300 a month?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? $8,300 a month, right? If you make six figures in a year. So if you were smart, you wouldn't go get a $5,000 condo just because you make $8,000 a month. But people do that. They like, well, shit, I'm going to have $3,000 left. You know what I would do? $2,000 a month apartment. Because you know what I'm saying? Hey, it is what it is.
Splurge and maybe do a $2,500.
See, that's how I was living. You feel me? Like yeah. I was living like really below my means. Like I live off my army money and then I invested my barber money. So my army money was nothing, but I mean, it was something. It was $3,800 a month. But I still save off that. I was living off maybe $2,500 a month, but I was making $3,800 a month off the army.
Yeah.
So I'm already saving, you know what I'm saying, like $1,300.
Right.
Or whatever the number is, right? And then I'm investing all of my barber money too. So I'm putting in $4,000. I'm powering my dreams with this $4,000 machine a month. Mm. So even if I lose this $4,000, next month I'll make it again. Mm. I learned something from that last $4,000 I lost. But at least I know how to bring in something to where I can just keep doing it. And then but I didn't quit. You get what I'm saying? So yeah, I might have lost some money, but I knew I'm a cut hair. Yeah. I already know I'm a barber. I'm a machine. I'm gonna get that $3,000 back and go put it in the stock market. Go put it into something. You feel me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you do like some mentoring? Do you do mentoring and mentorship type stuff too? Like
yeah. Now I do. At first I didn't because it was taking up time, and I like to do things in bulk. But now I'm like, you know what? I got the time to like sit down. I had to free my time though, so I had to let go of like Buddy said last podcast. Sometimes you gotta put something away so you can go and start something, you know what I'm saying, and it's gonna grow. Yeah. So I was making like $150,000 a month off something I was doing, right? But I had to be there every, I would say, 3 days out of the week, 2 hours for 2 hours. But I said I'm gonna need that 2 hours back. Because I got something that could potentially make me, instead of $100,000 a month, maybe $500,000 a month.
Yeah.
Even though I ain't make a dime off of it yet, I believe in it. You feel me? Yeah. So it's like, now I ain't going to lie, I made some money off of it, but it's like, I'm learning that too. You need a lot of time. And for me as a CEO, I'm like, okay, I need all the time I can get so I can work and think. I need to free up all my time. So I don't need to be cleaning the house. I got to go get some maids. I got to invest in myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need to be worried about my account. I need somebody knowing who I trust, looking over this money while I go and do something else.
Making sure everything's going where it's supposed to go.
I need a lot of stuff taken care of so I can free my time to think. And a lot of people don't realize that too. Once you start grinding, first you're not going to have no time. Mm-hmm. I didn't have no time. I was in the army. And as soon as I get off, cut hair. No time. Mm-hmm. But you got to go through that no time to free yourself. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Get you some time. So now that I got time, and it's a wrap, and you got to get passive income. Mm-hmm. A lot of people's income is active. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm pretty sure y'all got
passive. Active, you mean like similar to check to check?
You have to be physically there to make that money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
You got to, your goal should be to make as much money while you're not physically there. Or you gonna be forever in the rat race. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So I tell people that all the time. Like, they be like, how do I get rich? I said, you gotta make some money while you're not there. The only way I know that's really possible is online money.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I know that makes that much money while you're not physically there. Yeah, you gotta do content, but you can record it one time and sell it. You get what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. We all gonna be actively working. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I tell somebody, nobody technically retired. Tyler Perry still working. Steve Harvey still working. Oprah still working. Bill Gates finally stopped working. You feel me? Like, you never really retired.
Yeah.
And once you realize that too, that sometimes it becomes about, it's not about the money no more. I'm pretty sure you can live off the next 5 years with the money you got, right? All of you could.
Yeah.
But you understand, like, I need
you ain't gonna to live the way you want to live. I ain't gonna live the way I want to live for 5 years.
Right. Right.
Hell no. <nah. laughs> Shit. I got too many people to take care of.
You know?
Shit, that's
and inflation is inflating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that money becoming not what it was.
I could live in my means.
Right. Within my means.
You got to go middle class again.
I can't.
You can't do that.
Nah.
But
I'm gonna work till I got there. Can't no more.
That's how I feel too.
That's what you're supposed to do, in my opinion.
So why do y'all work? Like, what's your purpose of just?
I just work because it just keep my mind from just being flat. Like, if you ain't working, what you doing? Mm-hmm.
That's what I say. But then some people would say, why is our society based on money?
Things when you tying in work with purpose too, which I think everybody
is.
When I'm working, I don't even think about it.
Much. This doesn't feel like working.
It's not like it's not work for us. It's just like we're doing something that we love to do. But we do understand that in the process of this being something that we love to do, we need to continue trying to perfect our craft so that we can be the best at what we do and also maximize the most out of it.
Okay. Yeah, that's how I feel about me. Like, the reason I get up every day and do it is because it's bigger than me. Like, so, like, I didn't know until I started traveling. Like, I go to the airport, I go anywhere, I go out the country, no matter what city I go, people can literally spot me in traffic. I can be in my car, it don't matter. They just know it's me.
Yeah.
And they're like, man, you changed my life, you changed this, you did this.
That's a beautiful thing.
It's like, I didn't know it was that big until I started traveling. So now that gave me a purpose of, okay, people listening, people really taking heed to what I say. I'm actually influential.
And really making a difference.
In a big part of this culture. So, you don't know that. You just making content. Mm-hmm. I thought nothing of it. I'm thinking it's Instagram.
You're just doing it, right.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just a businessman, really.
Right.
At heart. First, I come in as a businessman. You know, of course I'm trying to make a change, but you don't believe you can make that big of a change. When you from where we from, you like, I'm way too small. I don't know these rappers. I don't know nobody. I'm too small for this. You get what I'm saying? And my mind's still kind of like that. Like, I don't know how big this is. I'm just recently starting to understand how big it is. You get what I'm saying? Like, the impact and stuff.
At this point now, since you are financially well off, what motivates you? Like, when you get up in the morning, what's your main motivation?
I'm living for, like, my legacy, my family, my last name. It's a sense of pride to get up and not quit after a while. Sometimes, and it's not about proving haters wrong. It's not even about them. It's about me, what I stand for. You get what I'm saying? Like, I believe your life is a book. And if you write in that book and you know, let's just say I'm on chapter 10, right? I feel like I got another 60, 70 to go, you know, whatever. I don't want this book of mine to say I quit at chapter 10.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? It's really about me. And I feel like once you stop living for other people's approval, you start to blossom in life. Like, and what they say, if you live for their approval, you'll die by their rejection. So I literally don't care how I look to other people. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Not how I look physically, how much money I mean. I don't really care what they think. And that helps me keep going too. A mind of like, I'm not living for your approval because I ain't trying to die by your rejection. Because the moment they say they don't rock with you no more, that's when you become depressed. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The moment they not feeding into what you put out, you become depressed. So just put it out without all that ego and you know what I'm saying, congratulate me.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
You definitely got to say fuck your critics.
You got to say that.
Basically.
Protect your energy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then learning how to say no, all that.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Is it easy for y'all to say no?
Yeah, for me now. I used to be a people pleaser.
Yeah.
But now it's easy to say no. You know what I'm saying?
Because you got to be the asshole in order to be happy.
Yeah, but it's still, for me, like, it's easier to say no, but it's still kind of hard when it comes to the people that I really love and care about, because it's not that I really give a fuck about what they think, but internally, I just hate letting people down. So it's kind of like, I don't really want to do this shit, but if I can figure out a way and it doesn't, like, affect me too bad, then fuck it, I'm going to go ahead and do it. Like, if I really love you that much.
You also a female, so it's in your nature, you know what I'm saying?
At this point, where I'm at right now, personal, I don't really fuck how you feel. Like you just said, it is what it is. If I can't do it, I can't do it. It's no, it's no. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to keep saying all these yeses to you. I'm eventually going to tell myself no.
Yeah.
For some shit I want.
Right.
You know how many times I say, nah, I ain't going to go buy that car, but then I tell you yes. I ain't got money for me, but I say yes because you got a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
That shit out the window.
Right.
Yeah.
I had to learn that at a young age.
I had to learn it old age.
Right. Like, not to, because, you know, I became a millionaire when I was 23. Now I'm 26. So, you know, being 26, if they see But I had six figures since I was 22. I made my first six. No, I've made my first six at 21, half a mil at 22, million at 23. So in my opinion, I had money for 6 years.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? I've been living like a big dog for 6 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, people only see three. You get what I'm saying? That's how long I've been doing it, you know, publicly. Popping on. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I made my first meal when I was in the Army. You get what I'm saying? So, like, it was a lot that went to getting that first million.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? But once I got it, I had to realize, like, when I made this million, I was in Savannah with just me, my wife, and my son. That was it. You get what I'm saying?
Mm.
So, it's weird to me when I move back home to Atlanta, how many people like...
Feel like you're...
Yeah, yeah, you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's weird to me. I was all the way in Savannah when I made this.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? I weren't even nowhere near this. I was in the Army, ducked off.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, if I wasn't this big, you wouldn't even talk to me. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, I don't allow people to attach themselves to me.
Yeah, just, exactly.
Yeah, and people don't like that about me. But they don't realize, I understand how I got this. It was me, my wife, and my son. It was it.
Yeah.
So I don't allow people to leech off me and this and that. And I had to learn that just moving
home
straight
up. Or to make you feel like they have a right to feel entitled.
But they can't. You get what I'm saying? I was gone for 6 years. I was in the Army. I joined at 18, made my million at 23. So I was gone. Nowhere near home. You feel me?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So like... Like, it's easier for me to say no, too, because I couldn't imagine if I grew up, like, it would have been worse, for sure. Like, if people would have saw, but I had to learn that, too. If you want to be, you got to make yourself less accessible in order to boost your value. You get what I'm saying? And I'm pretty sure, that's a 48 law of power, ain't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you got to make yourself less accessible to boost your power. So I had to learn that, too. Like, if you got a brand or if you got something... Yeah, you got to pop out, but let's look at the old days. Was the king in the middle of the damn village back in the day, every day? If he was, you get what I'm saying, they'll take advantage of him. They want to take him serious. I see this man every day.
Exactly.
He's nothing to me. You get what I'm saying?
He's a regular nigga just like us.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So I tell all kings, when you start getting that paper and you this and that, become less and less accessible on purpose. To boost your value and for people to take your time and you serious. You feel me?
Good. Because I always see you, they feel like they know, they really know you.
Mm-hmm. For sure. They say they need Elsa's. About what?
When I get big fat. Big fat, big fat. AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles, a podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangsta rap. Hosted by MC8 and Big Steel, every Thursday, each episode provides an in-depth exploration into the formative artists, monumental albums, and socio-political factors that have shaped gangsta rap from its emergence in the 80s to its enduring impact today. Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form. We dive into the socio-cultural aspects that gangsta rap boldly addressed, from police brutality to systemic racism, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the profound cultural significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance.
In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on. Get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
They'll explore and listen to the sounds of amazing places like farms, racetracks, the moon, and even
construction sites.
That's right, Blippi.
Follow your ears. What do you hear?
And they'll meet new friends along the way. Alongside Blippi and Mika, your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Giving the gems, man. You know we're at Clark Atlanta University. What would you say to that kid in their dorm room, that freshman? What would you say to brother incarcerated, anybody in the streets, about how they can progress their situation or progress their situation financially?
It's pretty easy to progress your situation financially. I figured out that it was easy. Now, people are going to say it's hard, but I think it's easy. I always tell them the same formula. I preach this. It hasn't changed because this is how I got wealthy. It's to literally live extremely below your means. Stop worried about what everybody's saying about you. Stop trying to compete with other young men, because y'all got to realize we got to humble ourselves. We don't got nothing. We 18, 19. We don't have shit. We can keep trying to wear the fake chains on Instagram, buying the V6 Camaros. I did all of that. You feel me? All that, trying to prove that we rich at 8. Just humble yourself, because that's what I had to do at 20. I said, I'm going to stop playing video games. I'm going to stop buying Jordans every weekend. I'm going to humble myself. I don't care what you think I got on. I don't care about going to the club every weekend. I don't care about, you know what I'm saying, having 10 girls. You get what I'm saying? Like, I had to stop caring about everything. I gave up all that and said, I got to go get this money real quick, because it was Tupac who made me realize this. And that Kendrick Lamar song, Mortal Man, he said, while you young, that's when you got to go hustle the most. While you still want to fight back, while you still want to lift weights, while you still a loud mouth and proud and everything, while you still got all that energy. And it really motivated me, because I'm like, damn, I'm sitting here like literally conforming to society, going to the club every weekend, worried about who got the most hoes, you know, girls, worried about all that. I was just a regular, you know what I'm saying, dude. And I realized I had to isolate myself, and they'll be okay. So a lot of dudes be afraid of that. Like, let me walk away from my homies, because we've been banging together for a minute, or we've been in the streets, or this my brother, he gonna say I'm an F nigga if I move and do my own thing. A lot of people be afraid to branch off.
Yeah.
But see, you gotta tell him, look, I got my life, you got your life.
Nah, no facts. Because everything ain't, just because something for you don't mean it's for him. You know what I'm saying? So you could be trying to drag a motherfucker along, dragging yourself down.
And you quit because he quit. Well, yeah. He ain't got the motivation. I ain't got the motivation.
It don't go like that.
You get what I'm saying? So I had to let, and I tell dudes that too, don't be afraid to walk alone.
Facts.
See, I feel like most men who come together and do something already was on a path to doing something and they aligned. Mm-hmm. You had motion, he had motion, she had motion, y'all aligned. It wasn't like you effed up, and y'all trying to drag somebody up. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like when you start making that money, you're going to start being places where people make money. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like the law of attraction.
Right, exactly. And
I don't know how it is. You get what I'm saying? Like, for instance, I ran into David on the way here because I'm on the way to Big Facts too. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? But I been knew him, but what if I wanted to network with him mm-hmm. or something like that? Mm-hmm. So it's like, humble yourself, save your money, get one stream of income, figure out what the next stream going to be, and save 100% of that. Don't lifestyle creep. Don't even touch that new money you about to make. So you got one, whatever that first stream, you got to humble yourself enough to live all the way off it. You got to, or you're not going to make it. A lot of people don't want to do that. Like when somebody tell me, oh, my mama worked two jobs to take care of us. That's cool and all, but it should only take one. You get what I'm saying? Because that means, you know what I'm saying, the lifestyle isn't there. Or, of course, people, fathers don't be present. You know, it be situations. But at the same time, you shouldn't have to work two jobs to support your life.
Because that's taking up most of your time.
All of your time.
All of your time.
Yes.
When one job you're supposed to live off of, the other you're supposed to use as a machine to power your shit. So if I was in college, if I was in college personally, I'd probably be a barber. I'd probably be a party promoter. I'd probably be that guy. You get what I'm saying? But see, I was in the military. And guess what I became? That guy. As soon as I went in there. I'm always going to be that guy, no matter where I go, to be bringing in some money, no matter what. That was me since I was 9 years old. When I was in apartments off Cleveland Ave, I was taking out trash. I was that guy. And I was walking the kid home for $10 a week. I was that guy since 9 years old. Yep. You get what I'm saying? I was somebody's security at 10 years old, making sure he, you know what I'm saying, his mom paid me $10 a week. And I'm taking out trash. So I'm taking out trash in the mornings. And then on the weekdays, I'm walking the kid home, always making money since I was 9. Mm-hmm. When I was in school, I sold candy. I was always that guy to plug and play himself in any situation I'm in and capitalize. All you got to do is see, what do people need? How can I add value? You get what I'm saying? Yeah, so that's how you do it. You just got to say, okay, what can I supply these folks? What can I take advantage of? When I was in Kansas, I was a sneaker reseller. Why? Because I live in Kansas. White people ain't buying Jordans like we are. See, in Atlanta, the line going to be 50 people, and it's only 20 J's in there. You get what I'm saying? It's only 20 J's. It's 50 people in that line. Kansas, 5 people in this line. So, you know, I'm always that type to think. It's 5 people in that line. That Jordan costs 180 stock. I can go put it on eBay for 250. That's what I did at 17 years old. I've been selling online since 17. Yeah. Now it's in 2013. I made my first $1,000 online at 17. So I've been doing it for a minute. And you know how like some people be like, what was it about you in the past that makes you a millionaire now? I didn't notice it until I got older and said, damn, I've been hustling my whole damn life. I always been that guy. Since I was 9 years old, to go get some money in every single situation I ever been in. I'm talking about I have not had a job since I was 16.
You think for some people that's just how it is. Some people got it and some people don't. Like, there's bosses and got to have workers with bosses. Everybody can.
I think so. I think God has chosen people. And I think it was just, I had a hustler spirit. Mm-hmm. Like, my parents never told me to go do that. Those are all my ideas since 9 years old. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't have the best grades. I did, you know what I'm saying, all the way up until high school. I took all the advanced classes, so I wasn't no dummy. I took AP classes. I always had honor roll all the way up to high school because I found out I was going to the Army, but I always had sense. I always knew that I can read a lot. And reading really what got me here, too. Like, just read books, stay up on your education. And you must knowledge is really the power because even in any business you got, if you like, let's just say I'm competing in the Airbnb industry. You can advertise. You do got to get your marketing up. That's true. But if I know more than you too, I'm going to outdo you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might So I always tell people, marketing is key to learning how to market, but also knowing like to keep going and to keep reading, to keep furthering your knowledge. That's how I get ahead in my market too, is you can't compete with me if I'm always reading. And I know you about to take a break. You get what I'm saying? Like, you gotta know when people taking a break. Like, you gotta, and that's what I learned too. Like, you really wanna be a hustler, hustle when people take breaks.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, you gonna go crazy. Like,
filling the gap.
I already know Saturday and Sunday, you beat on the week. You done. I'm not.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Every weekend, I put in work. So that's my gems to get to these dudes.
We appreciate you pulling up, man. Let everybody know where they can tap in with the movement, Aristotle Investments.
Man, Instagram always shadow banning me, but Aristotle Investments. Instagram always shadow banning me, but you got to type in the whole thing, Aristotle Investments, Aristotle_investments. Yep, and that's me. You can find me on all platforms.
There it is, www.bigfactspod.com, HBCU on the green. Salute.
Yeah.
For the streets.
Exactly.
It's Big Facts.
No cap.
Bitch.
Live from Clark Atlanta University is DJ Scream, Big Bang, Baby J. We are the Big Facts crew. This is HBCU on the green. And the only way we can start this situation off.
With the push.
Is with the push.
The push. With the push. Energy. With the energy.
Corey Jacobson said.
Let's go.
HBCU on the green.
Let's go. HBCU on the green.
Big Facts.
Big Facts.
Now, I'm going to commit you. This is just a snippet of we're going to sit with Corey.
Oh, no, this is a
push.
Yeah, I just told my man, I said, listen, I can't give up the whole push because the whole push is just too big.
Right.
Let's really do it the right way.
We got to do it.
We're going to give him a taste. It's just a little dribble, a little drip, a little drip.
We got to do that.
For the whole play.
So let everybody know why.
I'm ready for it, too. No, I'm just saying, it's over. I'm outside.
We already got
the whole play.
Yeah.
I need 3 cameras, 4, and then I got a camera taking the picture of the camera.
Yeah.
And then a camera behind him with a camera. That's
and
what we need.
Camera.
Yeah. And a drone catching this shit from the top, bottom, and the sideways.
Yeah.
That's how we're gonna do it.
So let everybody know why we're here today, man. You know, you invited us out. We appreciate you, you know what I mean?
Yeah. As another executive producer of Big Facts, you know.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we,
the
like...
The brains behind the brains.
That's right. Okay. Why wouldn't we not bring in, you know, our own podcast, right? That's right here in Atlanta. Mm. That owns the streets. That's the voice of the streets. That interviewed everybody. Got 100 episodes in, right? And that's on the Revolt platform. That wouldn't even make sense. Right. So you figure what do we do? Big Facts on financial literacy. That
sure.
Feels like something to me. We might be able to do that. Run that through the high schools and everything. You see what I'm saying? Mm. Through the hoods. Because everybody ain't gonna go. We need to go right to the people where they need us to be.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Pushing.
Can't wait.
With the winnergy, with the winning energy.
Sure.
No complaining, no excuses. You know what I'm saying? We plowing through all obstacles and to do what we got to do for the people. And I just commend y'all. Y'all super consistent. You're super real. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and what y'all talking about and the way you talking about it, people are afraid to do it. That's why I mess with y'all. And I'm going to keep messing with y'all.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure. So let's break down the concept of the HBCU on the green for everybody that's going to see this and may not understand.
Yeah, HBCU on the green, you know, when you just think about, look where we're at right now, we're on the green. You know what I'm saying? When you think about the campus and you go to the center of campus where everybody's stepping, where you might get into a fight, where you do whatever, you might have a debate, you're going to do that on the green. So everybody come to the green and do whatever you're going to do. Inspire people, poetry, and, you know, mentor each other. You know, and just
sell
a community, sell some shit.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, HBCU on the green is a fintech company / merchandising company, right?
Okay.
So we got the collegiate license to do merchandise for over 70 historical black colleges. And branding is everything. I'm a brand guy. I come up in the 90s, you know, and I think branding is important because if people don't know who you are, you know, how are you going to do whatever you're going to do? So we stop it.
I'm going to try to get them
stopped. Yeah, get them. Yeah. No.
While we got the downtime, while he's talking, let's take advantage.
Okay, cool. No, yeah, we're going to, and y'all gonna cut this up. Yeah, just HBC on the green, you know, is a company, it's a fintech company where I love fintech, although it's, you know, a new, kind of a new space with banking. We're able to capture data. And, you know, we're able to capture the data so that we can better serve the community, right? So at the end of the day, I always was a trendsetter. You know, I like to pioneer things. So if we have this license, We have to think, what else can we do with a license than hawk merchandise? You know what I'm saying? That's not the big idea. That's not going to, you know, save lives. So what we did was we found a void, something that's never been done, was to get the schools on these reloadable debit cards and gift cards so we can start these students on their financial journey.
Okay.
Right? So we do got to hit that off. Well, go ahead. You can keep it.
For sure. So what's the follow-up to this? Like, will you be taking the follow-up, this to different...
Yeah, the follow-up to this is to take what we've done here. Obviously, this is our first one. You know, obviously, you get the chance to see after you do something how we can make things better. I'm super happy. We got we partnered with MasterCard on this initiative. They've been a great partner, right, on the Come On Board. They already was doing great work in the space, you know, giving money to Howard and all these various schools and even Morehouse and Spelman. And I can see that they authentically want to see change, right? So it's only natural. A lot of times you might have a corporation, they try to do it theyself. I think the best way for us to get the community is partner with people that's in the culture that can add value and do it in the best way possible. So we use our relationships, right? We got Big Fat Show. Boom, we come with Big Fat Show. We bring them on the campus. We have a relationship with Terrence J. Terrence J, we can call him on the phone. We don't got to go all to 1,000 people. Yo, Terrence, what's going on? We got something going on at HBCUs, and he showed up. And it keeps going on and on, right? So I feel like this is just the beginning of a lot of things we could do. We got a Black-owned hair products company, which is Talia, who's a good friend. She's out of Harlem. She has hair shows that 30,000 people come to. So when we think about a natural partner, we would have a Talia brand where they got Jimmy's hair products and they also have the natural hair for the females. We got Black people with a lot of natural hair. So they're making the products that actually work. When they get those products and I can see they're using it, they're putting it in their hair, they're like, yo, listen, I finally have something for me. So that's what we want to do. We want to create design back end reward systems that helps promote us to circulate our money back in the community.
So personally, what does this movement mean to you, and at the end of it, what's a win for you personally?
Yeah, man, a win for me, the win, personal win, is that obviously so the people that know my story, which we'll get into that to the next episode, you know what I'm saying? It means a lot because I'm here full circle. You know, I had a very, you know, challenging journey, you know what I'm saying, to get back here. I went to an HBCU, right? I left college to go to an HBCU to have fun. When I went out there to have fun, there was a lot of elements and things going on. So it means a lot to me because I didn't stick it through. I didn't follow through and finish school. So now to come back out here to bring a financial literacy tools to the students, back to a colleges that I once was my stomping ground.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? To sit back here with my legs crossed, executive producing a podcast, 3-4 cameras on me, an artist that I represent, and MasterCard executives here that's on deck, probably proud of me, man, because I'm a Black brother out here putting it down, overcoming adversity. I want to be an example for individuals who feel like they can make a bad decision, and then that doesn't define you. You don't got to give up. I don't give a F what it is. I can say the F and everything. We're going to go F and all that when we do the other show. You know what I'm saying? I'm just proud of, you know, how we was able to come together. It's not easy. Anytime that you're doing something that's never been done, there's going to be little kinks in it. But look, we're here today. I feel amazing. I feel full of energy. And I want to take that energy all over the world. And I want to do more programs like this. I want to go to every college. I want to have Big Facts at every show. You know what I'm saying? Turning it up. I want to go into schools. And I want to start them in the schools. We're doing it here because this right here, they need it. We need to take them through their financial journey, right? But we also need, even before they get to college, we need to start giving them this information.
Sure.
And there's a lot of people out there that's doing it great. I just want to do my part. Everybody do their part, everything gonna be cool.
The world needs that winergy,
and we here to bring it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Here.
Hey, big shouts out to Corey Jacobs and everything you're accomplishing. Salute to you.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. It's more
coming
to come.
Coming soon for sure. Yeah, big for facts, sure. Corey Jacobs. HBCU on the green. Big facts is here.
Revolt. Let's go, Revolt. We're bringing a Revolt to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. We already started with the Black News, mm-hmm. right? And now we're bringing the whole operation to Atlanta, where our people at, where we should have been. But it's okay. We pivoted.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's all right to pivot.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Right, you don't just stay somewhere and just know it's wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No, you pivot and you do what's right.
Yeah.
So the right thing to do is to go where our people are at, Go where our creators are at. Right. Go where the talent is at. And go where the people are at. And that's why we here. Revolt, let's fucking go.
It is. Worse than the push. Worse than the energy itself.
Love y'all. Peace. Love you too.
For the streets.
Exactly.
It's Big Facts.
No cap.
Bitch.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the visceral world of hip-hop with the Gangsta Chronicles, hosted by MC8 and Big Steel. It's every Thursday,
y'all already know.
A podcast that aims to unravel the intricate tapestry of one of music's most influential and misunderstood subgenres, gangsta rap.
Let's go.
Gangsta Chronicles unpacks the evolution of this uniquely American art form, offering listeners a comprehensive understanding of the significance this genre holds. Listen to the Gangsta Chronicles on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.